Would you please rise for the gospel reading from the gospel according to Luke in the 18th chapter, I begin in the 9th verse. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So, a few hundred years after Jesus told this story, Christianity as a whole became exalted. Or in the vernacular of our time, bona fide. The Roman emperor became Christian, the cross became a symbol of the elite and the powerful. And while much of the Christian world celebrated this seeming triumph, there was a strange group of men who fled into the desert to escape a Christianity that they believed was inextricably compromised by secular values. They lived in rude huts called cells or caves. They ate little. They talked less. And their sole purpose was seeking salvation through their striving to reject the worldly pull of their bodies. So through solitude and labor, through poverty and fasting, through charity and prayer, they invited God to purify their hearts. And the heart of their desert life was this prayer, the prayer of the tax collector. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now, what drove these desert hermits to escape from society, what Jesus is teaching here, and what the prophet Jeremiah told us 1,000 years before that, is that the source of our problems, and concurrently the problems of the world, lies within our own hearts. From an exterior perspective, these men, these desert hermits, were probably some of the least sinful men in the history of Christianity. They really just didn't have much opportunity to sin. They were just living in the desert. They were certainly just as dedicated to their religious discipline as the Pharisee in Jesus' story. But they prayed the prayer of the tax collector. And instead of righteousness in their hearts, they found, as Paul describes in Romans, a war. Inside each one of us, made in the image of God, is goodness, capability to bring life, to give, to create. And inside each one of us, corrupted and infected by sin, lies the capability to destroy life, to take, to tear down. Or as Alexander Solzhenitsyn writes, the line between good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties, but right through every human heart. Now, most of us good church-going folk have heard that before. We know that, right? We're all sinners saved by grace. But so much, so often, instead of accepting that as true about ourselves, we want to marginalize that and quantify it. See, our capacity for self-deception and our ability to judge our own sins and judge those of others to be different knows no bounds. We go to church on Sunday, we put some money in the plate, we come to help at the block party, and we say, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that white supremacist. I'm not like that murderer. I'm not like that drug dealer. Not like. Different. Better. Not like those other people, those bad people who do bad things." No, comparatively, we're good. Yet Jesus spells out for us so clearly in the Sermon on the Mount that God judges with a different standard. If you think lustfully about a member of the opposite sex, Jesus says that's adultery. If you are angry at someone, that's murder. If you say, "Fool," you are liable to the fires of hell. Oh, we are not good. We are deceived. We don't know our own hearts. The wisest of these desert hermits became known as fathers or abbots, and their wisdom was passed down to us through the tradition of the church. We must learn on how to see our hearts and the hearts of others differently. Two brothers were the other hermits. Two brothers were sitting with Abbot Poman, and one praised the other brother, saying, "He is a good brother. He hates evil." The old man said, "What do you mean he hates evil?" And the brother did not know what to say, so he said, "Tell me, Father, what is it to hate evil?" The father said, "The man who hates evil hates his own sins and looks upon every brother as a saint and loves him as a saint." To know our own hearts is to know that you are a sinner in need of God's mercy. The church here and everywhere is a sinner's only club. Jesus only saves sinners. If you're not a sinner, you don't need God's grace. And Jesus died on the cross for nothing. And to learn that and believe it, to believe that you are a sinner in need of mercy, is to know then how deeply you are just like everyone else. See, there was one person who was not like the murderer, not like the thief, not like the drug dealer. Jesus Christ was not like us. He was not a sinner. And he spent his life being just like us. See, he came at the start of his ministry to Jordan River, and John the Baptist saw him and said, "I'm not going to baptize you. You need to baptize me. You are not like us." And Jesus said, "Well, to fulfill all righteousness, to show righteousness, I want to be just like you." And he went down into the waters of the Jordan and was baptized. And then he went on in his ministry to eat with sinners and tax collectors. He went on to let a woman who was known to be a sinner to touch him, to wipe his feet with her hair and with her own tears. The Pharisees didn't like that. A young man came to him and said, "Good teacher." And he said, "I'm not good. Only God is good." And he was tried as with a murderer. And he went to his death with a thief. He put him in our place just like us and cried out in many different ways, "Have mercy. Have mercy, O Lord. Have mercy." The man, for our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin. And the good news is the second part of that verse, that once you know that truth, once we've realized that Jesus is just like us and that we are all just like each other, sinners in need of grace, so that the next part is that so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became like us, died for us, and rose again so that we could be the righteousness of God, be justified in the way that Luke's scripture tells us. And when you get deep into the Hebrew, well, into the Greek of the Gospel of Luke and into the Hebrew words behind that, you find that have mercy has a deep meaning: to cleanse, to purify, to cover. Remove from me the impediments that block my relationships to you, O God. Drive out from me this shame, the embarrassment with which I come to you. Put in me a clear heart. Write your law within me. Forgive my iniquity and remember my sin no more, as the prophet Jeremiah says. And Jesus Christ has made this possible for all of us sinners. When we go into ourselves, when we find our hearts and see them as they truly are and expose that truth to the Lord is ready to shine the light of grace and mercy upon us, to shine that light onto the darkness and to make it light, to replace our hearts of stone and give us hearts for love. Jesus Christ is ready to do that for us. God is prepared to remove it. That is the way into our hearts. We thought that God was judging us from afar, but it turns out God was waiting for us inside our own hearts, ready to purify us. So if we go to this block party today thinking that our neighbors are not like us, that we've got Jesus and they don't, well, then we will fail to connect. But if we go with clarity in our own hearts that they are just like us, sinners in need of God's mercy, well, I believe that God will be with us to connect our hearts to their hearts and their hearts to Jesus Christ, the one who is ready to purify, to clarify, to help them become the people that God created them to be, because that is what God is doing for us, and that is what God is ready to do for all the sinners who come to him. Lord, have mercy on me. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.